I didn't want to be in pain. Because that's the thing with depression, and I don't think a lot of people talk about necessarily, is that it's painful. Internally, it's painful. At least for me.
Hey there, my name is Sean, and this is Suicide Noted. On this podcast, I talk with suicide attempt survivors so that we can hear their stories. Every year around the world, millions of people try to take their own lives, and we almost never talk about it. We certainly don't talk about it enough. And when we do talk about it, many of us, including me, we're not very good at it. So one of my goals is to have more conversations, and hopefully better conversations, with attempt survivors, in large part to help more people in more places feel a little less shitty and a little less alone. And if you have been a part of this since summer of 2020, thank you. If you are a suicide attempt survivor and you'd like to talk, please reach out. Hello@suicidenoted.com on Facebook or Twitter /X @suicidenoted. Check the show notes to learn more about the Suicide Noted podcast, including our membership. Massive thanks to Helena. I hope I'm saying your name correctly. She just joined as a member. Thank you, Helena. As I said, I appreciate your support. If you're able and willing to give that kind of support, we could really use it. Finally, we are talking about suicide on this podcast. We do not hold back, so please take that into account before you listen or as you listen. But I do hope you listen because there is so much to learn. Today, I am talking with Stefan. Stefan lives in Colorado and he is a suicide attempt survivor. Mr. Stefan, and you're in Colorado.
Yes, sir. Denver.
Nice city.
It's all right. It's grown a lot because I'm from here, but it's pretty good.
Okay. Claim to fame for Denver. Now, I follow sports, so I know about the Rockies and the Avalanche and the Nuggets.
Broncos,
of course. And we know that you're high up in altitude.
I mean, generally pretty beautiful. Today is kind of gross. It's overcast and gray, but normally, like yesterday was 60 and sunny.
Yeah, you guys have that really nice sort of nice air, big sun feel vibe going.
Absolutely.
Which is a pretty sweet combination. What is your background, your ethnicity?
Serbian. Like, my dad immigrated into the U.S. back in the 80s from Serbia.
Oh, that's a more interesting story than mine. But we are ultimately just a couple of white dudes talking about suicide.
Yeah, bald white dudes talking about suicide.
Exactly. Always interesting for me to start. And I like starting in new places each time. But there are just certain things that matter more when we begin. And the natural one is, where did you buy that great jet? No, I'm just kidding. Why does Stefan in Colorado seek out something with the S word in it?
Last year was a rough year, let's putting it mildly. And back in November, I attempted suicide. A full attempt, like, went for it.
This was something you had never done before?
I'd gotten close, but never to that point.
That's November. You reached out, if I remember correctly, a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Not a few months ago.
No. So I found the podcast after my attempt in December. And I started listening to a couple episodes and I was like, oh, well, this sounds interesting. So I thought, I don't know, why not reach out? And I noticed a lot of the episodes you post are generally a lot of women.
I know.
And I figured, like, that's who's reaching out. And like, every once in a while, there's a guy on and I'm like, well, you know, I fit into the category of what's going on and I'm comfortable talking about it. So why not?
Yeah, I'm glad you did.
Yeah, me too.
Do you think when you say you're comfortable talking about it, you mean in something like this, or do you actually talk about it with other people in your life?
I talk about it with other people in my life. It took me a while. Like, I didn't, like, after it happened, I didn't tell anybody for like 6 weeks. And then I told my brother and then my really, really close friends about what happened. Recently told my mom.
How did mom take
that? That was the hard one. She did all right. She did better than I thought she would do. It was intense.
Yeah.
I don't really know a better way to say it because it's hard to tell your parents that. And she's a fixer. So for her, it's like, oh, okay, how are we going to get you better? What are we going to do? I'm like, I don't need that. I just want you. I just want my mom here, you know?
Did she connect with what you were saying?
No, yeah.
Not a good or bad thing, but if you're a fixer, you're a fixer.
She was able to just sit there and listen. and be there for me, which was huge.
Yeah. Good for mom. Go mom. Go Stefan's mom.
She's a great lady. I'm really lucky to have her.
Going to go out on a limb and say she probably feels the same way about you.
Oh, I hope so. I've stressed her out a lot in the last year, but I hope so.
Now, before we sort of like dive in really, well, we have already, why are you in a car?
I wanted some privacy. My brother's at home right now. And then I have to go to work after this. So
kind of work.
I'm a nutritionist.
Cool.
Yeah. It's all right. I'm kind of actually looking to get out of it. Just I've done it for 8-9 years now.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. I kind of want something with a little bit less emotional responsibility for other people. Because even though we're talking about food and diet and supplements,
yeah,
I get people coming in crying sometimes. And it's like, I can hold that space, but I got to work on me too right now.
Sometimes I wish I were just like some sort of craftsman.
Right?
Yeah, like I build cabinets for people. I mean, that's not easy, I know, but like... And yes, you know, in business, you might deal with an angry customer. There's always some emotional component, but like the bulk of the time is like you're making or building or maybe even fixing. I was like, that might be better in some ways for me.
Oh, yeah. No, I fully understand. I thought I was going to do art when I graduated high school, but I ended up going into a science field because my mom is a naturopath.
Okay. Well, very well balanced. So you go back in your life and you think about growing up. You're in Colorado. Given the context of what we're talking about, what was that like for you?
Well, I wouldn't say we had easy lives growing up, or we had a single mom. Dad was not really present and an alcoholic, so he wasn't really in our lives much. It was tough. I mean, I didn't realize how poor we were until I got older. Like, us going out to do something would be go to the mall to look at things we can't buy.
And around people probably not that far from you who were not poor.
Yeah. In 2007... we moved to Hawaii. I was in eighth grade and we're living on 20 acres in the woods. My mom's an interesting lady.
What island?
Big Island.
Big Island. That's Hawaii, right?
Hawaii. Yeah.
Hawaii. And you're in the middle of the woods with what? Your brother?
With my brother, my mom, and her partner.
The hell were you doing there?
Fantastic question.
Well, I'm known for that, Stefan.
It's a good one. I mean, the reason she moved out there, she wanted to be more self-sufficient, have property, build a house, open a healing retreat, because again, she's a naturopath. That's what her dream was at the time. So we moved out there in 2007. There are parts I missed, but it was a rough time. A lot of poverty. Me and my brother lived in tents for 3 years. My mom and her boyfriend were in tents the whole time, but like 10 by 10 tents. Pretty big.
Still a tent.
So we were building the house, clearing rainforest, like gardening. We grew, I would say, probably 80% of our food.
Pretty cool. But maybe for a 13-year-old, not great. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it wasn't great for a 13-year-old. Gave me a lot of really great life skills. Gave me a lot of perspective. I have a hard time with some people who don't have a realistic idea of what going without is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gay, and I've gone on dates where guys are like, oh yeah, I spent $400 on jeans. I'm like, that's what I would spend on jeans in 3 years. Like, you don't have a concept of what like actually working for it means, I guess. Not even that really, but like complicated. Going without. And really understanding what you actually need and what's just frivolous extra.
So those were mostly first dates.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I was like, oh, like you won't understand me as a baseline, as a human.
Sometimes don't you wish you were just fucking rich?
All of it. I would go back to the woods and no one would ever hear from me again. Except my family.
I mean, let's not candy coat it, man. Being poor, well, going without can be really fucking hard.
It's traumatizing in a lot of ways. My last boyfriend, we were together 5 years, and I told him this story, and I was like, ha ha ha, isn't this funny? But me and my friend, we were in a PacSun in the mall, and we found someone left a McDonald's bag with a half-eaten burger in it. We tore off the half-eaten bit and like ate the rest of it, and we were just like so hungry. Because you're teenagers, you know, like you can never get enough to eat, and we were eating twice a day, like dinner and maybe lunch at school. Sometimes like a breakfast on the way in if we could afford it, because it's expensive out there.
Yeah.
So I was like, haha, PacSun burger, isn't that funny? And my ex was like, you know, you deserve more than that.
Mm.
And I like broke down because I never thought about it that way.
Like, you deserve more than a half-eaten hamburger.
Yeah. I never really thought about it like that, because in that moment, you're just surviving. You're just getting what you can.
Do you go back to Colorado at some point?
We moved back in 2012. Honestly, it was like the best thing that could happen for me and my brother.
Were you done with high school at that point?
Yes.
So you finished in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Yep. Are you out at that point?
Yeah. my brother outed me because I was having a really hard time. My mom didn't know. He's also gay. It doesn't excuse it. And I'm actually kind of glad he did, but it was rough in the time because I didn't get to do it on my time schedule.
Sure. And we're leading up to this, not only the recent suicide attempt, but you had also mentioned a near attempt, perhaps more than one in the past before that.
Yeah. I mean, looking back, I was dealing with a lot of depression once puberty really started. Being poor and stuff, you don't think about it. So you're just like, I'm just going to get through and life's just shit. Life's shit. And I just have to get through it. So there were a couple times where I had like sat in my bed with like a knife and was like, I'm just going to cut my wrists and just be done with it.
This was how old?
15.
Hawaii. Sat in a bed in a tent? Sorry, I get very visual.
No, you're good. So yeah, eventually we got beds. We were in tent cots for a while, but yeah, I had a bed at one point. That was a big upgrade.
There's a lot of kids right now who sit in their beds or somewhere doing what you did that might hear this. So, you know, where they're close, they're probably not going to do it, but it's a sharp thing and they're starting to, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what you were doing.
Yeah. Well, the only thing that really stopped me at that point was I didn't want to hurt my mom. Mm. And I didn't want to be in pain.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing with depression, and I don't think a lot of people talk about necessarily, is that it's painful sometimes. Internally, it's painful. At least for me, I should say.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't going to understand that.
Yeah, and I don't know a better way to describe it.
However, most people who listen to this podcast probably will.
Yeah.
To some degree. So looking back, had you gone to a doctor, and let's say like they were really good at what they were doing, they would have said, Stefan, you are clinically depressed.
I think so. I think at that point, yeah.
No meds, no docs.
Nope. But I would have like always be in the back of my head like, well, bad enough day, you just kill yourself, you know?
You think about other ways to do it?
Back then, no, because I didn't really have a lot of options. Not to be morbid, but I couldn't hang myself. I didn't really have anywhere to do that. That would hold up my body weight. I'm like 6 foot and 240. As I've gotten older, yes, I've thought of other methods. Car in the garage, just let myself suffocate, you know? But yeah, the car one, it would be easy if you have a garage.
I think so. And are we giving people ideas? I don't think so. They know them. They're out there. We're not talking about some super really weird, obscure new thing here. Sometimes I'm like, should I include this? I'm like, you know what? Yeah, it's fine. We're just talking about things. So you're a teenager. Let's say you're ideating. I think that's the right word. As you get older, particularly when you move back to Colorado and you said it was the best thing, does that wane for a while? Go away?
It does, because my situation has improved. It definitely went away for a while. I was able to kind of like pull myself together for a long time there. From like 2012 to 2014, it was fine. Wasn't really thinking about it. I was in school, working two jobs, trying to build my life. We finally had a decent amount of money because my mom started a practice and we were finally comfortable. Really, like not worrying about things for the first time ever. So things were good. And then I moved out on my own in 2013 with a friend and that fell apart. And then that winter of 2013 to 2014, I was sexually assaulted. And after that point, it was a very gradual downhill slide.
At any point before or after that, get any outside support, professional or otherwise?
Yes, but not right away. Much after, like 7 years later.
So not that long ago.
No, 2020 is when I started working on it.
So what's going on between around winter 2013 to 2020 when you're essentially like, what we call it? Is it white knuckling it? Is that the expression?
I would say that's what it was. I was working a lot, like 60, 70 hours a week. I had two full-time jobs and school at one point.
That's superhuman.
Yeah. And I really burnt. Well, I was running, keeping myself moving. So that way I didn't have to deal with what happened.
And it probably does work to some degree.
For only so long.
Yeah, for a little while. But in the moment, like you said, even back referring to Hawaii, it's survival, Matt, right? Isn't it?
Yeah. I was just trying to survive in the only way I knew how, which was to work hard and get through it.
So now when you look back, what wasn't working?
Oh, I was shut down. I would go into my room after like work and just sit in the dark, stare at the wall for 6 hours until I fell asleep.
This is probably like basically your 20s.
Yeah, early 20s.
6 hours.
Yeah.
Drink, smoke, cut, nothing.
Nothing. I got drunk one time before I turned 21.
Oh, you're so boring, Stefan.
I caught up eventually.
Okay, that's coming soon here in the narrative. I got you. 6 hours is a long time to be doing just about anything. Staring at a dark, blank, whatever wall. Are you numb at that point? Are you thinking like, what the fuck is going on?
I couldn't even afford myself that. It was a just don't think, don't feel anything, just exist.
Are you presenting to the world in a way where most, if not most people would be like, he's fine?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can put on the mask and pretend I'm happy and pretend everything's good until I, as I'm getting older, until a point. But then I could just do it all the time. No one really knew. I had told a couple people about what happened, but I would never talk about it other than that.
When you say what happened, you mean the assault?
Yeah.
And you do it for a while, man. We're not talking about months. This is years.
Years. I spent my early 20s just trying to keep myself alive.
And it worked.
It worked. I'm still here.
I mean, that's one of the things I can always know for sure. When do things start to get less easy and you can't fake it or you can't deal in a way that you had been?
When my relationship, so we were together for 5 years, and the last 2 years of it, I was really falling apart. I wasn't managing well. My depression was getting worse. On top of all that, I have hypogonadism, so I don't make enough testosterone, which makes depression even worse.
What does that mean, hypogonadism?
Hypogonadism. So you don't produce enough sex hormones.
Hypo. Okay.
Hypo. Yeah.
Symptoms?
No energy, always tired. My body would just hurt. I would cry sometimes 4 hours a day because your mood just gets so low. You can't even maintain.
And there's nothing to treat it?
I have to do testosterone.
Gotcha. But that wasn't something you knew about or treated. When did this start being treated?
Oh, that's a good question. 2017.
Okay, so there are years where you have the thing, unless it developed in 2017.
It was definitely prior. I think it was because of the stress of the sexual assault, honestly.
Right. So when we talk about white knuckling, this is another part of it.
Yeah.
When does the relationship break up?
2021.
When you referred earlier to the almost, was there almost just one other or more than one?
I would say there were times I got close. Like I would be on a hike. Well, no. Here's a better one. So my office building is on like the 8th floor. There was a time I was just standing on there. And my brain's like, just throw yourself off. Just do it. And it took a lot of willpower to just walk back inside and not pay attention to that. I would consider that an almost.
Yeah. Is there something else beyond willpower that prevented you? Or is that the right or only way to describe it?
I would say it's a combination of willpower and a feeling of responsibility to those I care about.
I do want to know about the hike example as well now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I live in Colorado, so there's really fantastic hikes. It's beautiful. But when you're up there and it's like a 300-foot drop, you're like, oh, well, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't survive that. Just a quick little jump and great view on the way out.
Dangerous way to be living.
Absolutely. Not really living. Surviving.
Your relationship breaks up in 2021. And you try in 2023.
Yeah.
So what are those 2 years like, or 2+ years?
I mean, I was kind of out of control the last 2 years. In the time period since 2019 to now, we've had 5 deaths in our family. My great uncle died. My aunt, who was 39, died. My dad's mom died. My grandpa died. And then my dad died in 2022.
Wow. At what point did you say you started getting counseling, therapy, whatever the right word is?
Well, I've been in therapy on and off kind of more as like if things got really intense, I just needed an outlet, I would go.
Yeah.
But I wasn't getting things consistently until 2020.
Until 2020. Did anyone ever put you on meds?
No, because I wasn't seeing a psychologist. I was just seeing a therapist.
Sounds like 2020, which also is COVID, obviously, that things get rough.
It started out okay, and then it got rough.
Because you're dealing with your own relationship and death in the family. So I'm always wondering how people cope. Now, you did mention earlier something about catching up with alcohol, so that's on my mind. But like, how are you coping?
At that point, it was, I really wasn't. I started smoking in 2019.
Cigarettes?
Vape first and then cigarettes in 2020.
Vape to the cigs. Got you.
I do everything backwards. So started that way, started smoking. I then started smoking weed pretty consistently, and that was a way to cope for a while. Mm-hmm. I would wake and bake like every day for years, which, you know, if anything, it could have been okay. But after me and my ex broke up, I started hanging out with some friends who like we'd go to raves and do stuff. So I started doing Molly or shrooms or acid. I really went into like the party club scene hard from 2021 to 2022. Like those 2 years, I would say 2023 was not really that. I had my 20s and my late 20s, my early 20s.
And it makes sense, right? Because it's fun. You feel good. You're with friends. There's music. It's like the perfect recipe.
Exactly. And it was. I think I could have done it healthier, but I did have a good time for the most part.
Alcohol's mixed in there too.
Yeah. Mean having drinks would be like four on a night out. I've only really had a blackout one time. So not really a big drinker. I don't love it too much. And I can't really drink now because I'm on depression meds.
Well, when did you get them?
After my attempt in November.
Okay. So good segue.
Yeah.
You're doing the thing 2021, 22. Obviously, things have opened up after COVID. You're partying, you're hanging out. And then, so how do we get from there to November?
So after me and my ex broke up, my brother and then my group of friends, we moved in together to my house. And we're all living together. There was five of us in the house at one point, and it was a little stressful, but it was nice having everyone around. Like, I had my social group back, and these were friends from high school. We all stayed really close. But over the last 2 years, they've all been moving away, going somewhere else. One of my friends, is her husband's Chinese. They moved back to China and had a baby. One friend that was having health issues in the only hospital that could help him was out in Chicago, so he had to move. So then it was just me and my brother. We're close. We're very close siblings, but I was not handling that well. My dad's death was still really bothering me. And I have to say, like, with my dad, his whole thing, like, he was never really much in our life, and I didn't really expect to deal with the grief in the way I did, to have that much grief about it. I mean, he died in jail. He was arrested for child porn and was in jail and died in jail. It was a lot. It was just a lot. And I was in therapy at the time, like, most of the last year. I, like, even at that point, I wasn't letting really anyone know how bad my depression was, even my therapist.
I work in the health field. I know. I have a friend. One of my friends had attempted suicide in 2013, and she got committed, and like, it freaked her out. It scarred her for life in some ways.
Yeah, right. Something else we don't talk much about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is not a good system.
So we're moving towards November.
I had a period of insomnia in September. Mm-hmm. I ended up stopping smoking weed entirely. Like, I didn't sleep for 4 nights. I was starting to hallucinate. Yeah, and weed was making it all worse. So I stopped smoking weed in October, and I had a mental breakdown.
What do you mean?
I was just like almost manic, but it's not mania as in like, life is good, I've got this. It's like, I'm falling apart. I'm collapsing.
Brother is aware.
Oh yeah. And he was dealing with the brunt of it.
How does he deal with that?
He'll talk with me, but like, if I get too worked up, he's like, I can't deal with you. You need to go manage yourself, which is fair. That's what he could do. I mean, he can communicate what he can and cannot do for me, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. So October, one of our friends from high school, I mean, we all maintained our friendships.
Yeah.
For the last 10 years, 11 years.
It was amazing.
I'm very lucky in that instance. Like, I found my group of people and we stuck it out. She was with us for 2-3 weeks. And then my great aunt was in and out of the hospital for 3 months. Was it 3 months? It was 2 months. Started in October. She was having really complicated health issues and I was helping take care of her. Like, my mom was like the head person, but I would go to the hospital 4 or 5 times a week, go see her, help her, and watch her slowly decline. Then our friend left from her trip, and I had my concert rave group come in, and we went to a show at Red Rocks, and it was great. I had a good time. But then once everyone left, and I was just like looking at the reality of where things are at right now with my family, and I was like, I can't do this. This was the day after the concert, November 10th.
So what happens that day?
I had just started my second job, got in there, did my training shift day, got home, started having like a panic attack, tried to talk to my brother about it, but he wasn't in a mood to really like help walk me through it.
Mm-hmm.
Cause he was having a rough day, and I was just like, okay. So I went to my room and closed the door, took a knife up with me, cut my wrists and went to bed.
Sound pretty casual when you say it.
That's how it felt in the moment.
You really cut?
Yeah. I have scars on my arms.
Yeah. You hide them?
Cuns mostly.
So you took a knife, you went upstairs with the intent to kill yourself?
Yep.
Why did you choose that way?
I don't know. That's just, I don't know.
Yeah. Did you somehow fall asleep?
Yeah. I was like, okay. Well, I was ready for bed anyway.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'll just cut my wrists. I'll go to sleep and I won't wake up. I woke up. I woke up in the morning. I had blood on my bed. I had scabbed over the night because apparently I have high clot factor. So that stopped me from bleeding out.
I'm not chuckling at any of this, but it's just like,
oh,
it's the irony hasn't lost on me. My brain wants to die, but my body's like, you're not doing that.
Yeah, like the absurdity and irony. Yeah. So basically, whether high clot factor, and you probably just didn't do it, whatever the word is, hard enough, deep enough, right enough, something where you just didn't bleed out enough to die. Okay. I think if you were bleeding out, you would have woken up.
No, because your heart would slowly stop.
And then you just wouldn't
not getting enough oxygen. You wouldn't wake up.
All right. So how does it feel to wake up wanting to have died?
I was disappointed, to be honest. But also like, fuck, I got to go back to work now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, beat myself up and go to work.
Day-to-day stuff.
Yep.
Because what else are you going to do?
Got bills to pay. Still alive.
Go to work. November. Find the podcast not long after that.
No. Because I was like, I need to hear something other than my own experience. Like, find other people's stories, like getting through it, surviving it, you know? Because then I was on the other side of it, and I had survived.
Yeah. As time goes on from November to now, what other feelings are there? So in the moment you said disappointment, and I know words can be weird. I get it. As the time goes on, and maybe who knows, influenced by these stories that you heard, but other stuff in your life, does that change that disappointment? Does that morph into something else or other things?
Yeah, it turned into shame.
Uh-huh.
And shame breeds in silence, so it only gets worse if you don't talk about it.
So that means you were not, no one knew?
No one knew.
Brother?
Didn't know.
Hid the scars?
Hid the scars.
Not that anyone's looking, but maybe if they saw them. Don't tell your therapist.
I hadn't seen her in 3 months at that point, 4 months.
So she wouldn't have been available.
I had started seeing a psychologist, though, because having gone through the party phase, I figured out, I have ADHD, which explains a lot of certain behaviors I have, like just like the day-to-day struggle I have and like why certain things are hard for me. So I got a diagnosis for that and got an Adderall and my ADHD stuff got better. And I did tell her about my depression, and I'm not on my testosterone because I can't afford to go to the doctor to get on my prescription. But we had talked about getting on an antidepressant. In that first session, I was like, I want to try some other stuff first, see if I can get this managed. And after that, I was like, nope, we're going to start me on an antidepressant. I had told her about what happened. She goes, you should have called me. I was like, I know, but I didn't want to.
You wanted to die.
I wanted to die. But she, you know, we figured out a plan in case I get like that again, got me on medication. And the medication's been all right. I mean, it has its side effects, but for the most part, the suicidal ideation doesn't really stick anymore. So it's gotten better. In some ways.
In some ways.
The depression's gotten better, but the emotionality of what happened didn't really hit me until the end of January. Because I'm still helping take care of my great aunt. I'm working. I am talking with my friends and doing all this other stuff. I try to tell my mom about it at one point, like after it happened, and she goes, I can't help you right now. Because I was just like, hey, mom, I don't think I'm doing well. And she's like, I need you to hold it together because I can't hold this whole family together. So I just lock it all down and just help get through.
Mm-hmm. End of January.
Emotions down.
Not to make it about this podcast for me, truly, but does that impact actually? Because that's about when you reached out, if I remember. Maybe it was a little later. Is that all related, or is that just coincidence?
I think it was me wanting to reach out and talk about it with someone not in my family and someone not, you know, emotionally invested in me being live.
Yeah.
And about that time, that's when I told my mom. It was a lot of like grief almost and PTSD symptoms coming back up. Because my great aunt she's better now. So she's healthier. I don't have to worry about her as much. My mom is less worried about it. Like things have gotten sorted out. So the stress isn't so bad. And now it's coming out.
And I'm sure that doesn't just mean talking to me. I'm sure it's coming out in myriad ways.
Oh, yeah. I mean, crying. Like I wasn't able to cry for like 2 months, 3 months. So it's just like it's all coming out all at once. And like it's freaking my family out. They don't know what to do with that. You know, and my instinct is to like either smoke weed or drink. And I'm like, I can't do that. I can't just shut it out. I have to like work on this head on.
What does that look like? I mean, I get it, but like, what does that mean?
I'm looking at doing outpatient therapy, like intensive outpatient therapy in an addiction program because my dad's an alcoholic. It runs in my family. I have that kind of personality type. So might as well work on it before it becomes a true addiction where I'm like going to work drunk, waking up, drinking, doing hard drugs, you know, trying to be proactive about it.
That's very cool.
Thanks. Sucks, but so I got to a point where I was like, well, if I'm going to be alive, I might as well enjoy my life and do what I want to do. And to do that, I need to be healthy. I can't just be surviving. I want to actually reach a point where I'm thriving.
Do you have a goal in mind? Like, have you set a date? You're like, it'd be cool if I reached that point kind of within X period of time.
5 years.
You're patient.
Oh, yeah. It took me 7 years to work on sexual assault history. So, and it's not 5 years and then I'm going to be better. It's 5 years and then I'm going to, my plan is to move to Japan because the US is a goddamn shit show.
I don't disagree, but why Japan and not Cambodia or Argentina?
I've been studying Japanese since I was in middle school. I'm not as proficient as I would like to be, but I have a decent grasp on it. So if I get somewhere, I can definitely start picking it up more. So the same day my dad died, I found out I'm on the autism spectrum. Not diagnosed, but a very effective self-assessment. I can't have a diagnosis if I'm going to go to Japan. They won't let you become a citizen if you do.
That's a whole other podcast. You can become a resident, a citizen?
Residency is still limited on medical history and things like that. Wow. Pretty sure. They don't want you to be a burden on the society.
Right. Okay. That is actually right. That seems to come up a lot with other stuff. Yes. A burden. Such a powerful word. A burden on society. Okay. So you know what city you might go to?
I'm looking at the countryside. I don't really want to go to a big city. Like Yokohama would be cool. I mean, I'm looking all over the country. I'm thinking more southern because I want to be somewhere warm. And here's the other problem I have. I don't absorb dietary vitamin D. So winter is fucking brutal. I have no vitamin D. I have to get injections just to get it in my body.
Wow. You got to get in the fucking sun.
I got to get in the sun. I need consistent sun where I'm not losing it for half the year.
And wear sunscreen.
And wear sunscreen.
Because you're bald. But you're bald by choice. That's different than me.
No. It's not fully bald, but it's definitely going. You can see the top of my head when I have my hair out.
What kind of car do you drive?
A Subaru. Of course it's a Subaru.
Japanese, right?
That too. She's at 160,000 miles. Paid off.
You know that I lived in Japan for a little bit, right?
I heard that on a recent episode. And I was like, that's so cool.
I mean, I didn't learn much of the language because I'm a jackass. But I was there for a little bit teaching English. I was mostly in... Technically, I was in Yokohama, though. I wasn't in the city. I was really between Yokohama and Tokyo and Kawasaki.
Okay.
The train system is so good there. I mean, it was like 20 minutes to Tokyo flying it.
Right. I'm like, the public transit is so good. It doesn't really matter where you live. Even if I need a car to just get to the train station, that's not bad. But most of the time, you can just walk there.
Anata no namae wa nan desu ka?
Boku wa Stefan desu.
Okay. I was just putting him on the spot, y'all. Do you? I asked him what his name was, by the way. Do you know what the word for suicide is in Japanese?
I don't. What's funny is when I'm learning Japanese, I'm a much cheerier person. And I've heard that when you learn another language, you have a different personality for that language.
Right. That's fascinating.
More poetic. I love Japanese as a language.
Japan's kind of a unique in its way, as at least historically, as far as I know, with its way of looking at suicide. There are circles there that honor it in a way that I've rarely seen.
It's a very different perspective than in the West.
I don't know, it might be like an old concept there. It's kind of maybe falling out of favor, but...
But it's culturally important, even if they don't like to talk about it all the time. Like, it's had a different cultural weight than it does in Europe or America.
I mean, you could have taken the knife and not done it on your wrist. You could have gone old school Japanese style and gone right in the gut, but you would have needed a bigger knife.
And that would be pretty painful.
I can't imagine how fucking painful that would be.
I wouldn't really want to disembowel myself, you know?
How many people did you tell, if any, that you are talking with me today?
Three. My psychologist, my brother, and my mom.
Encouraging?
Yeah. Yeah. They're supportive. They think really whatever I need to feel good about where I'm at, do it.
You're dressed up. Is that because you're going to work? You wanted to impress? Because nobody's going to see this, Stefan.
No, I'm going to work after this.
You never went to a hospital?
No.
But you're considering outpatient?
Correct. I've had a couple interviews with different places. Because I'm not actively suicidal or going to hurt someone else, I don't qualify for inpatient technically. The one place I did go to like have an in-person assessment, it's a lock-in facility. I don't really want that. The place I would like to go is an inpatient. It's a month long, but it's $24,000. So I'm actually working to get insurance right now so I can at least do the outpatient.
Ironic in a way, because we were talking earlier about going without.
Yeah.
How many people know that you tried in November?
People.
Eight people. So you trust eight people enough to tell them?
Yeah.
Anybody say anything that was less than ideal, so to speak? Not great?
No. I'm pretty lucky. All my friends were very supportive. If anything, they're upset I didn't talk to them sooner.
Good friends.
I have good friends. I have the best friends. I love them. They're great. That's a struggle in itself just to find those kinds of people.
For sure. Well, that said, do you wish ever maybe it's as we're talking. I have a sense of what the answer is, but I'm often wrong, that that day in November turned out differently.
I knew you would ask.
Damn, I can't trick anybody anymore. There's too many damn episodes out.
Even if you're in therapy, they're going to ask you.
Yeah.
I feel like a good therapist would.
They would ask you, are you thinking about it? Or they would ask, do you wish it had turned out differently?
I don't know. Some days, yes, when it's really hard to deal with the emotional side of things. But right now, no, I don't wish it had turned out differently.
Okay. When you say there's a five-year plan and then you're going to Japan, that tells me what I hear is, I'm not going to try again.
Yeah, I don't have an urge to. Not right now.
I get it. Shit changes.
I don't have any urge or desire to really try currently. A lot of that, I think, is the medication is helping. But coming that close to it and then working my way out of it has given me some insights about myself.
More to come probably too.
Yeah, definitely.
What helps, if anything, when you're really feeling shitty?
Honestly, being around people, because it gets me out of my head. Music, like live music, helps me so much. I went and saw a concert. I started dating a guy in December, kind of gently. And he knows what happened. I was very upfront with him. And he's like extremely supportive. I'm like, right now I'm a kind of a mess. So I can't give you like as much of me as I would like, but I want to get to a better place. But we went to a concert together and it was honestly amazing.
What kind of music?
It was, so the artist was Queen Herbie. Like, I like all kinds of different music, but I love live, like, EDM. Because I like to dance.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Big bald dude dancing. What's better than that?
Oh, yeah. Come on. And, like, making out with a dude on the dance floor is fucking great.
Yeah, you've heard some of the recent podcasts, I imagine.
Yeah.
So you know about the pink and purple pill. So that is for our listeners, because sometimes they're, like, first-timers. Give Stefan a pill. He gently goes to sleep. He doesn't wake up and nobody knows it's a suicide. They just think he died. Would you take it, save it, or just throw it out?
Right now, save it. I'm putting in a little satchel in a box somewhere in case I need it.
Could be in Japan. Could be in the state. You might go else. We don't know.
Who knows?
You might live to like 104 years old. I don't know.
You know, I'm writing that right now where it's like, I don't know what life is going to hold. Could be better or worse, but I'm actually okay with seeing how that turns out.
I think this is my final question. Then, of course, you can add anything else you want. Are there anything, particularly anything, any myths or misconceptions? I know you knew this was coming, but particularly those that haven't already sort of come up in the conversation as they tend to do.
I think the big one, again, in my personal experience, depression is painful. It's emotionally painful, at least in my experience and my time with it, because you want to be alive and part of everything else, but you can't. And I think a lot of people don't understand. It's like, oh, I'm not just sad. It's that my brain wants to be dead, but I can't. I think a lot of people, at least if they're coming here, hopefully have a better idea of what depression is. It's like being trapped in your own like emotional body.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, nothing that other people haven't said. I don't think suicide is necessarily selfish because you're not thinking, oh, well, I'll just end this for me and no one else will be affected. It's like, you know, it's going to affect other people.
Yeah, of course. I would imagine most, if not all, sure.
But you just think your lack of presence will give them relief, at least in my case.
I actually do have one more question. Do you think people who try to end their lives are, by definition, mentally ill?
I used to think yes, but I don't now. I have mental illness, but I don't think everyone who wants to die or wants to end their life is mentally ill. I think that sometimes, especially depending on your circumstances, it just seems like a better option than continuing to suffer. In America, at least, or at least countries who come from a lot of like religious backgrounds can really put a lot of importance on suffering and the nobility of suffering, which I think is just inhumane. You're not supposed to suffer all the time. It doesn't make you a better person. It doesn't make your life more meaningful to suffer.
There's a lot of people making a lot of money off of people suffering, right? I mean, a lot.
I think part of it too is just capitalistic culture of here's a product, I'm going to sell it to you. And the product is you will be okay.
It's the transactional nature we've made also. That's part of it all. It's like everything's, not everything. I'm being a little hyperbolic, but more and more just has that feel.
It does feel that way. Again, I would love to go be inpatient therapy, $24,000, to be better and healthier and whole. It has a price tag.
It's easier being rich.
It's easier being rich.
Like, just let's say it.
It is.
It might be suicidal. Many things are easier.
You have more access.
You also have more cushion, which maybe is the same thing. If X, Y, and Z happen, major depressive episode, can't get out of bed for 3 weeks, you have money.
Right.
You might be able to have somebody who can help you, and you can pay them to go buy you food, whatever the details are. That wasn't a great example, but it's different.
It's different. You can pay your way out of the things that everyone else has to struggle for to just survive.
You just survive. And that might not be enough, but you have some of that. So if you're wealthy and listening, you might not want to ever talk to me. I hope you do. I won't shit on you for being wealthy at all.
Maybe you'll have some insights.
Pointing out, maybe they'll have some insights that I'm completely unaware of. I mean, I'm not rich, so I don't know shit, but you know, I know some wealthy people. Yeah. Anyway, that's just an observation. And I do think a lot of it is around capitalism. Maybe. Yeah.
It's hard when it's so tied into every other part of our system.
Yeah.
I think unfortunately it is part of it.
It seeps into everything. And then, you know, people will be like, well, you know, what do you want us to be, like a communist guy? I'm like, well, if we have only those two choices, like, I think we can.
It's not black and white.
Right.
It's a la carte. Get what you want. You know?
How often do you shave your head?
Once, twice a week.
Yeah, me too. Okay. But you groom your beard, right?
Oh, yeah. Every day I make my own beard balm, beard oil.
Sounds complicated. Anyway, I do have a little beard envy happening right now. Damn, man. Everything's so goddamn complicated. At least I just want things to be easy, Stefan.
I keep saying the same thing, man. But I don't think life is that easy.
Yeah, no, I think I'm finally learning that. And it took a long time. What else, my friend, would you like to share?
I don't really know. We've talked about a lot.
We have.
I think for people who are going through this shit, like, reach out to the people who care about you. They're not just saying it to be nice. In some ways, the only thing we got in this life is each other and our human connection.
Yeah.
Really, people need to foster it.
Profound wisdom live from Denver within a Subaru.
Wool coat.
Wool coat, green shirt, bald man, big beard, heading to work soon. Thanks, man. I sincerely appreciate you listening and then reaching out, and we're talking, and I have no doubt it helps people, which is just, that's what it's for.
And that's why I wanted to do it. And thanks for hosting. I mean, like, this is, I was nervous going in, but like, you're really approachable and very friendly.
Oh, man, you should see me when I'm not doing it. This is like a great performance, but it's real. You know, we have different masks, different versions. Nah, I'm okay. Thank you. I do try.
I think with the topic, your approach is very amenable. It feels real. It doesn't feel like I'm under my microscope trying to be fixed. Just witnessed, which is huge.
Not small. And I suck at fixing shit anyway, so why bother? I just can't do it. But it turns out to be a good thing on this podcast. It's not my jam.
I think so. I think you found a good niche, and I really appreciate the work you do. Thanks, man. It's been helpful.
I hope your day is decent. Or maybe even like a little more than that.
I think it's going to be a good day. I hope you have a good day and you find something to be happy about, Sean.
Thanks, bud. I appreciate it. All right. Get out of here, bald man. Thanks again for talking.
Yeah. Thank you so much. You have a good day.
Take care, my man.
Bye-bye.
Ciao. As always, thanks so much for listening and all of your support. Special thanks to Stefan in Colorado. Thanks, Stefan. If you are a suicide attempt survivor and you'd like to talk, please reach out. hello@suicidenoted.com on Facebook or Twitter/X at Suicide Noted. And that is all for episode number 206. Stay strong. Do the best you can. I'll talk to you soon.